This morning for the sermon, and for our scripture reading and our gospel reading comes out of the book of John. In the very beginning, there in chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 14, and this is one of my favorite passages of scripture, because it's here in this passage that I feel like that nature of our everlasting God and the nature of Christ, how everlasting it is given to us. This is a creation story here. It's not quite like what we see in Genesis, but it's a story about the Word and the Word being made flesh. So I invite you to hear these words starting at verse 1 of chapter 1 of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and in the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we go through this season of Lent and using the Apostles' Creed as kind of a guide, an inspiration for our Lenten examination and preparation, we come to that section that's probably the longest part of the Apostles' Creed, that section, or paragraph, you could say, on Jesus Christ. If you wouldn't mind pulling out your hymnal again here, we can kind of take a look at this here, and I'm going to compare back across the other page. But in that paragraph right there, it's the longest section that covers one topic of the Apostles' Creed and expands some traditional beliefs and understanding about Jesus Christ, about how he came into being, who he was born to, how his human life ended, but also points towards that resurrection. And in this historical statement of faith, we're going back, early, 100 AD, 200 AD. So this was an early understanding of who Jesus Christ was. Now, if you look back on to 880, the Nicene Creed, and this was set, if you remember, I talked a little bit last time about this, but I'll just share again, it set about 325 AD, the Council of Nicaea. And in that gathering of the bishops of the church, the ancient early church, this is where they debated and discussed the nature of Jesus Christ, of how he was fully human and fully divine. And it leaned, with that kind of traditional understanding out of the Apostles' Creed and of the early church, informed that Nicene Creed. A little bit of a side note that if you're ever on Jeopardy and you get asked this question, the canon that we have, canon being the set of books in the New Testament, was set at the Council of Nicaea. So at the same time that they are working on this document here, they're working on the books that are in the New Testament, the 27 books that are there. So a lot happened at the Council of Nicaea. I about lost it right there. But it's important, though, I think, when we look at these two statements here, these two ancient statements of faith, is when we are thinking about our faith and our examination of understanding our faith. The church has been doing this for centuries, trying to understand Jesus Christ, trying to understand where Christ fits into our faith and how we can understand Christ. So that's one reason why that paragraph is so long in both the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed for historical, comparison and purposes. But I believe for us, though, when we look at that Apostles' Creed, we see those statements on Christ, when we're thinking about, for us today, here in 2019, and especially in this season of Lent, as we are examining our faith, preparing ourselves for Easter. When we're looking at that statement, I believe in Jesus Christ, you know, that line right there and all that comes with it. When we make a declaration of where we put our beliefs, you know, where we put our faith, it says something about us and also how we understand the world around us. It's a bold statement to read a statement like the Apostles' Creed, that ancient statement of faith. It's a bold statement because it states who we are in relation to God and to Christ and the Spirit. Now, it's not Scripture by any means. No, it's not the final authority, but it is a statement about our faith. When we come back to here into 1 John, where we have this story, this creation story shared with us in the very beginning, you know, it speaks to that everlasting nature of God. And then when we proclaim that we believe in Christ, we're stating that we believe in something that goes beyond, you know, our understanding. It goes back into time. You know, it's with us now in the present, but will be with us in the future. I absolutely love that last verse here. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. For us in our modern age, as we examine our faith, we can look at statements from Scripture, the statements of faith, the creeds. But when we see these here, we know we don't look at them from just isolation as a pure intellectual exercise. We do so knowing our experience and the world that we live in. And why I think it's important that we use these ancient statements of faith as we examine our own is I believe it can give a sense of also continuity, but also a sense of comfort as well. And what I mean by that is, the early church gathered and debated and discussed and prayed and discerned, you know, these things, you know, such as the nature of Christ, what Christ means for us as Christians. And the comfort I find in that is that when I struggle today, I know those who have gone before me have struggled and discerned and prayed as well. It's a part of our faith story to try to understand Christ, to try to grasp that grace, that life that has been so freely given with us. But we also have our modern day challenges for us as we try to understand Christ, as we try to understand, you know, how our faith in Christ informs us today. I think actually about this little concept I've kind of pieced together and I've heard from other theologians talk about is the idea of little atheisms in our lives. And what I mean by that, these little atheisms, is that there are beliefs and understandings and things that we live with in our modern world that if they get kind of out of proportion, out of whack with how we understand our faith, we might start thinking and acting as if those are the things that can save us. And what I mean by that is if you turn on television at 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning, if you are having a hard time sleeping or have no young children, you're up no late at night, my brother has shared this with me, you know, how with his no young daughter, and they'll see all kinds of infomercials there on the television. When I was in college and as a resident assistant, I'd be up late at night and I would see those infomercials on there. And those infomercials range the whole span of things they are trying to sell. Everything from being a real estate guru to having, you know, a new financial plan to having a better golf game to having, you know, your health improve to being a little more regular even. I mean, I have seen the whole gamut there on those infomercials at night. And it's almost entertainment, the level to go with that. But I think there's a common thing that happens in that, and it happens in other things as well that we can pick up on, is that if we follow this plan, if we follow this direction, if we improve our health this way, if we get a little more financial security, perhaps we'll find no freedom. that the things we are struggling with, the things that give us pain, will no longer be there. Instead, we will have freedom. We will have happiness. We will have joy. And the challenge for us is those kinds of messages are pushed at us in so many different ways. They come at us in so many different avenues, you know, not just in infomercials late at night, but in other things that we read, that we understand. Now, these things, though, in moderation are not bad things. I can understand the want for financial security or improved health and being healthy and even having a good work ethic to go along with those things. I mean, there's nothing wrong in and of themselves. It's when we let those things act as if they are Christ to us, that we think our exercise routine will save us, or if our financial security will be what saves us, or if our work ethic will be what saves us. And you can almost fill in the blank with so many other things in our world that we can try to plug in there, and we try to live and act and behave and put our energy into those things as if they are going to save us. That's that idea of these little atheisms. There's no God involved in those things, but they exist out there. They may seem simple, may seem beneficial, and in moderation, they can be helpful. But ultimately, they will not save us. They will not give us the happiness and the joy we are looking for. If there is a hole in our lives, those things will not fill that hole. Instead, I see that when we examine our faith and we look at how Christ is our salvation, is our new beginning, is that new life, we can name all those things that we are trying to use, put into place, that we try to put energy into thinking they will save us. But instead, it is our Christ that saves us. It is our God that saves us. I believe it's important for us in this season of Lent, the season of examination, that we do name those things, not in a way that to make us feel bad or to feel guilty. I have no interest in us feeling that way, but rather so we can name them and move on and put our energy where it is needed. And for full disclosure, these are things that everybody struggles with. I struggle with them. The one about work, where there's kind of a thought out there that your work will could perhaps be fulfilling, perhaps give you full energy, perhaps make your life better, make all your bills go away, whatever it is, you work a day and you find a career, a job you love, you never work a day in your life. I have tried to apply that through my whole life, going back when I was in high school, cleaning out horse stalls. I mean, and to today. And why I mention that is there is that struggle of trying to put something in perspective where it is necessary. I love my work today, and I've loved jobs I've had in the past. I've loved my coworkers, the people I get to work with. But I have to tell myself, it is not my work that will save me. It is my work that will not give me that life that I have in Christ. And try as I have in the past, when I was a resident assistant in college, when I was stocking shelves at Walmart, no amount of effort trying to fill that hole in my life will be filled by that work. It only comes by Christ. It only comes by God and by the Holy Spirit. Yes, it is good to have a good work ethic. Yes, it is good to try to be healthy. Yes, it is good to be stable and secure in our lives, to have those things so we can grow. But they in themselves will not save us. It is only Christ that will save us. I invite us in this season of Lent to name those things, to name those little atheisms in our lives, so we can put them in perspective, so we can come back to our scriptures, that we can look back into our story, back into our faith story, and recognize for ourselves and claim for ourselves that salvation, that new beginning, that new life that we have in Christ. And instead of putting our energy in places that will just take energy away from us, we instead put our whole lives in the care of our God and the care of our Christ and the Holy Spirit. It's not an easy thing to go through and name those things or to examine ourselves, but it is a freeing thing. It is a freeing thing to no longer be caught up in what the world demands of us, but instead be living as Christ calls us to live. So let us examine our lives. Let us use our scriptures. Let us use our faith history and grow and be the people that God calls us to be through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.